So, thank you all very much. Sam Bass is now taking over with Allison and Greg and Chuck to talk about these airplanes and walk around. Sam.
Thank you, Dave. Actually, it probably is not going to be that much to it because you've pretty much covered what we're going to talk about here. We've been talking about the airplanes, and that's all there is to talk about. But let's talk with Chuck. Let's talk about your airplane a bit. You can talk about the specifications because we haven't covered that, what kind of engine it has, props, what have you.
Yeah, well, that's a 1820-30. It's a direct-drive 1820 motor. It's at 790 horsepower. And of course, the modern-day 1820s or the later 1820s were pulling almost twice that horsepower. And anyway, on this airplane, it's just really loafing. The engine is really loafing. It seems to pull it along pretty good when you put the power in. It's very lively. You feel the acceleration. It puts you back in your seat. The wheels come off. The tailwheel comes up very quickly, and the airplane's airborne in a surprisingly small distance.
Now, is this pretty typical of another seaplane? Did you fly all these amphibians? Does it fly pretty much like the rest of them?
It flies like a biplane.
Oh, okay.
So it's steerman-like in a lot of ways, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And no, it gets off the water or the ground at a lower speed than my other seaplanes, the Goose or a Widgeon, and it seems to fly a lot slower, you certainly have control at a slower speed. Let's put it that way.
Well, it looks like the visibility is pretty poor when you're on the ground.
It is, and that's a real disadvantage to the airplane, is that when you're on the ground, you have to really zigzag to see ahead of you and plan where you're going and know where you're going to be, particularly when you come to Oshkosh.
Yeah. Well, how many of these were built during the Second World War, or before the World War, I guess?
About 600, just under 600 were built, and I don't know of any other. Well, there's a couple of Dash 6s out there, but none of the Dash 4s like this.
So you mentioned earlier that Kermit Weeks says the only other flyable. Is that correct?
He's the only one I know of that flies it. There's another one up in Seattle somewhere that is a museum airplane, but I don't hear about anybody flying them. I've never talked to anybody who's flown one of their airplanes. But I do hear that Kermit Weeks does fly his every now and then.
Now, what services use this?
They weren't a very popular airplane. This was an Army airplane here.
Oh, it was?
And,
okay. Any particular quirks to it or tricks to flying it?
You have the tailwheel lock on it, and of course, like a lot of biplanes, you have to remember the tailwheel lock to keep it straight on the takeoff. But the airplane is pretty straightforward, and it lands at a very slow speed, so you don't have any of the quirks of having an airplane on two wheels and jumping off this. It seems like it's pretty easy for me.
Well, you say a slow speed. What do you mean to say, 80?
60-ish.
Oh, really? That's
yeah,
slow.
Yeah. It's touching down in the 60s.
Well, how does it behave in a crosswind?
I don't fly it in a lot of wind, but it seems to be very honest. It's got a lot of aileron, and I'm able to get it in and out of right on the center of the runway. It just touched down on one wheel as you would with any airplane. The tips seem to be plenty high off of the pavement, so you don't have any problem with the floats touching the pavement. So I've gone in 15 knot crosswinds.
That's pretty good then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, just one last question here. How about the color scheme?
Well, we tried to duplicate what it was in Pearl Harbor the day of the bombing.
Uh-huh.
So this is what we think it looked like. And we had some pictures of the airplane, so it seemed pretty much that was the scheme they used back then, and that's the squadron, the markings are the squadron it was in, their markings, and that's how we try to replicate the airplane.
Well, thank you. You've done a wonderful job, and it's a beautiful airplane, and thank you for your time. We'll just spend a little time with Greg here and let Greg tell us all about this cadet, because he seems to be a master.
Thank you.
They took your wire off.
They took my wire. It was raining. They didn't want me to get electrocuted.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your airplane,
which
you haven't already told us.
Well, the Interstate Cadet, the lovely thing about it for me is it's just such a simple airplane. So you really get back to just the joy of core flying and enjoying that. So to me, that's what's really special about her.
Well, you know, when you look at it and you look at a Cub right beside it, it's a good bit bigger than a Cub.
It's a little bit bigger. It's got a thinner wing on it, less of a stoll type of wing. So when you get to the Cub Taylor craft, they're better at lifting for short fields. This one's just, I think, a better flyer, though.
Well, I understand that this airplane, when it was new, cost probably, what, two and a half times more than a Cub?
Yeah, it was significantly
more
expensive.
Well, why did they select this as an instructor? What was the advantage of having this airplane over a Cub? Do you have any idea?
It's such an amazingly honest wing. I think that Ole Andrew...
Why don't we stand underneath this wing, by the way?
Why don't we stand... Yeah, I like that idea, a little rain shadow.
Yeah.
Ole Andrew is the guy that bought several of them, took it to Honolulu. Right. So I think he just knew that it was just going to be such an advanced, a wonderful training wing to teach people how to fly and how to fly well.
Well, how many of these are still around, do you think?
There's less than 50. There's a little over 300 built, but they're coming back. Tim Tallon from Ragwood Refactory, he's the guy that really understands and knows the history of these airplanes. He's brought several back. In fact, he was laughing. He had 6.5 of those airplanes that were here this weekend as the Interstate's cadet were his airplanes that he had restored. So he's really doing a great job of bringing these airplanes back to the community and back to a more understood position within the aviation community.
Well, what's the horsepower on the airplane?
Well, I've got an Continental A65 in here, and I've got it built up right to 75 horsepower.
So they only had a 65 in there.
Well, they put bigger engines in later, but in this particular airframe was initially delivered with that A65.
And so I can't remember whether you covered that or not, but what cruise speed do you get out of it?
Well, once you get up to altitude, you're generally cruising about 70 miles per hour on the indicated, but I climb out at 60 and she'll just keep climbing. That wing just is, it's a great little glider wing. I mean, you watch Kench Peach do his power off demo with this thing, and it's just a graceful, lovely experience to watch
it fly. So you guys didn't have any problems at all with that little 65 going over the mountain?
Well, it did it. But my little concerns and everything were pretty high. So I learned a lot in that whole experience.
Yeah, because you... Airplane noise, I love it.
Love it.
Yeah. Well, is there any significance to the color scheme on here?
Well, this was the Interstate color scheme. And so there's no pictures of the airplane when it was on Hawaii. So this is one of the two primary color schemes. In fact, at the time of the manufacture, this was the color scheme that Interstate was producing.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Greg. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.